Good morning, everyone. My name's Sheldon, and it's an absolute privilege to be here this morning on this Mosaic weekend, where we get to celebrate all the different cultures that are here and a part of our church here at North Brisbane. And I think it's such a blessing when we look around and we see different people in national dress as well, and just a real proud heritage of who they are and where they've come from. But not only is today our Mosaic Day, it is also the continuation of what we have as our Armed and Dangerous series. And we've had some amazing messages over the last few weeks about what we've looked at is things like how we can use different disciplines to be used as weapons against the enemy. And we've looked at things like prayer, and we've looked at things like silence and solitude, and we've also looked at things like confession. And all these different ideas, and service as well, all these different ideas on how we can use all these different disciplines of faith that we can use as weapons against the enemy. And today we're going to continue that, and we're looking at the idea of worship and celebration as being a discipline that we can use as a weapon to fight against the enemy. So I was thinking, as I thought about how can we use this idea of worship, I thought the first thing that we probably need to understand or do is to maybe look at some statements that people might say about worship and work out, you know, is there truth behind some of these? Now, I must admit, there's nothing I love more than to go home and kick my shoes off and sit myself in front of the television and do a little bit of channel surfing. I better not press too many buttons here, otherwise I don't know where my screen will be. But I love just to sit there with the remote, channel surf, and find a program to watch. Is there anybody else who just loves to just go home and just hang out? Yeah, okay. Now, when I do this, there's a show that I often see. I think it's probably on about three different channels, and it's a show where they try to either confirm or debunk a whole load of myths, and they call this show Mythbusters. Is there anyone here who likes Mythbusters? All right, yeah, there we go. So, look, this is a show that I must admit I never actually choose to watch it. It's just kind of like it's sitting there, so I go, hey, it's on, I'll watch this, and it's really quite entertaining. So I thought that we might need to do a little bit of Mythbusters on what worship is actually all about. So I'm going to go through a few statements of what maybe some people might think worship is. And the first statement I want to look at about worship is this, and that is that only religious people worship. Okay? So basically the thought is that if you have a belief in some form of deity, you pack yourself up every week and you head off to whatever your form of temple may be, and you bring worship to whatever that deity may be. So the only people in this world that worship are in fact religious people. Well, not only am I part of this church here, but I'm a part of another very, very large congregation that meets every few weeks. I'm an official card-carrying member of the Brisbane Broncos. Thank you, yes. Let's go Broncos. And I can tell you, when I go to those games, I see about 30,000 people joining together to worship this piece of leather that sits in the middle of a field. It happens constantly. It happens all the time. You see, I do not believe that it's just religious people that are made to worship. I believe that every single one of us was actually made to worship. In fact, I believe that God created each of us to worship Him. And if we do not worship Him, we will worship something. There are people in this world who have become famous just because they're celebrities. They haven't done anything. They're just famous. And there are people that worship them. We can't get enough of them. It's all because there's this hole that's left in us, because if we're not worshiping God, we're going to worship something. This is how we were made. In fact, way back in the 1600s, there was a group of churches got together, and this top statement is what they said. The chief end of man is to glorify God and enjoy him forever. So what they decided in the 1600s was that, in fact, we were actually born to worship God. That's what we were made to do. And then we have this from the Word of God, from Matthew. And this is when Jesus has been questioned and asked, which is the most important commandment? And he answers them this way. He says, love the Lord your God with every passion of your heart, with all the energy of your being, and with every thought that is within you. This is the greater and supreme commandment. Each and every one of us, we were created to worship God. And if we do not worship God, we will worship something. So when we look at this statement that says only religious people worship, I want to say that I believe that according to the Bible, that is busted. The next statement that I want to look at is this one. Okay, and this is one I hear quite a lot. Worship is the songs that we sing in church. Okay, so we all, you know, we come along to church and we stop for the time of worship. Okay, this is the time we get to worship. When the worship band comes up here and they play the songs, or it could be another style of church when the organ starts playing, that's time for us to worship. All right, because worship is just the songs that we sing. It's nothing else, it's just the songs that we sing. That's what worship is. Or maybe for some people, they might even say, you know, when we come to church, we actually are coming to worship. That's the time that we worship. It doesn't happen any other time of the week or year or whatever. It just happens when we come to church, we come to worship. When I look at that previous statement from the Bible from Jesus, where he speaks about, you know, this love of God just overflowing, this passion for God overflowing. I do not for one moment believe that it is just in the songs that we worship God. In fact, I believe that it is in everything that we do that we worship God. I believe it's, you know, it's in our waking up, it's in our making breakfast, it's in our going out to work, and it's, you know, and people who know us see God in us, because we can't help but let him be seen, because he's just bubbling over inside of us. And every day, every breath, every hour of our life is worship to God. And this is what the Bible has to say about true worship. It says this, and I love this version too from the Passion Translation. It says, beloved friends, what should be our proper response to God's marvelous mercies? I encourage you to surrender yourselves to God, to his sacred living, as his sacred living sacrifices, and live in holiness, experiencing all that delights his heart. For this becomes your genuine expression of worship. So, as much and all as when we come together and we sing songs, that is very much part, it's a part of worship. It's a portion of worship, but it's not the fullness of worship. The fullness of worship is all of our lives. And so, when we look at this statement, worship is the songs that we sing in church, that's only part of the story. It's not the full truth. So I'm afraid I'm going to have to call that busted. However, as I said, you know what? Worship, it can be both a personal and a corporate response. So when we're out and about and we're doing our thing every day of every week, we live a life of worship. But certainly when we come together and we come together and we celebrate as a church, there's another level of corporate worship where we get to join with other believers and we get to join in that sound of worship. And it's quite an amazing experience when we as a church get together and we worship God. In fact, I can tell you, as someone who's led worship and stood up here and sung songs with the church, joining in this idea of this corporate worship, in this idea of worship and celebration, it's an amazing thing to be able to stand here and look over the faces that are here in the church as we worship God. And I want to talk about this a little bit more. However, rather than just talk about it, I think it's a good idea that we experience what it is to worship. So I've got some friends here who are going to pass me my guitar and my music stand there, and we're going to experience worship together. Now, I'll just turn that one off so I don't change anything. Okay, so I'm going to invite you all to stand. And we're going to join together and we're going to worship God in this place through song, in corporate worship together. But now, as we do this, there we go. That was a good catch. Whew. Make sure that's on. Now, as we join together, what I want you to do is, I don't want to be like, you know, we just stand there and sing a song. I want us to look around the room and I want us to notice everybody else that's in the room singing this song with us. And I want us to realize that we have people who stand with us shoulder to shoulder, worshiping God together. So as we sing the words of this song, just don't focus just on the screen, but look around the room and notice the people who are here with you bringing worship to God. That is the sound of worship. That's what it's like when we worship God, when we celebrate God and worship God. We get to be a part of this incredible sound of worship that just goes nonstop all around the world, all through the heavens and through every single age. In fact, maybe it's just a bit of my thinking. But I remember, you know, the time that Jesus was on the cross, and it tells us that there was that as he breathed his last, that there was a sound of thunder, and the veil of the temple was torn in two. And it was explained to me, you know what? All of creation is held together by vibration, and what causes vibration is sound. And I sometimes wonder. I wonder if at that moment, all the angels around the throne and all of creation just for that moment went, and at that moment, that veil was torn in two, and that allowed us to enter into the Holy of Holies and worship him, worship in the way that we just did then. So I guess I want to look at a few more ideas of what it is to worship and find out, is it myth or is it confirmed? But I believe that when we worship and when we celebrate together as we just did, we join a multitude of worshipers praising God on earth and in heaven and throughout all of time. That is what we do when we worship, when we come together and worship in celebration, worship in this corporate way. We start to realize, you know what? I'm not the only one. I'm joined not just here by my church, but I'm joined by all these other beings of heaven, every voice of creation, everything that ever was, I am joined by in this sound of worship. And this is what the Bible has to say about that. This is John's vision of what heaven looks like, what worship in heaven looks like. And it was read to us before, and that was great to hear that. But this is what these words say to us. After this, I saw a vast crowd, too great to count, from every nation, every tribe, every people, every language, standing in front of the throne and before the Lamb. And all the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living beings. And these are all of these different citizens of heaven who stand around the throne. And they fell before the throne with their faces to the ground and they worshipped God. When we worship together, we realize we are something of a much greater force. So when we say that worship and celebration is joining a multitude of worshipers together, I want to say that that is confirmed through the word of God. That's what happens. The next thing that I want to look at that happens when we worship God, when we celebrate God as in a corporate way is this. When we worship and celebrate together, we witness God's supernatural power at work. You see, when I've been in worship times where I've seen people who have been chained to different addictions or different issues that have happened throughout their life, I've seen them released. I've seen the chains fall off in that time of worship because the supernatural power of God comes and changes their lives. I've seen people who've built walls up around them that don't want anyone else to come in and have anything to do with them. I've seen those walls come crumbling down because of the supernatural power of God. And in fact, over the last few weeks, we heard about what happened when an army decided to worship rather than fight and the enemy was defeated. We heard about when they marched around the walls of Jericho and at the time of the sound of the trumpet, the walls came crashing down. I believe that when we worship God, we see God's supernatural power at work. And in fact, this is what the Word of God has to say about it. This is talking about the Apostle Paul and his offsider Silas. And again, this is a great translation from the Passion Version. It says, "Is Paul and Silas, they'd been arrested, undaunted, prayed in the middle of the night and sang songs of praise to God while all the other prisoners listened to their worship. Suddenly, a great earthquake shook the foundations of the prison, and all at once, every prison door flung open and the chains of the prisoners came loose." You see, when we worship, the supernatural power of God is at work. Do I hear an amen for that? Amen. So when I look at this statement, I have to say, you know what? This, again, this has been confirmed through the Word of God. And I want to talk about one more thing that happens when we worship God in this corporate setting, when we celebrate and worship together. When we do this, we declare that God is victorious and that the enemy is defeated. Now, I'm going to put that in a slightly different way. When we worship and celebrate together, we acknowledge God in His rightful place, which then allocates the enemy to his rightful place, which is under the feet of God with his head crushed. That is what happens when we come together and we worship God in worship and celebration as a congregation. We realize that the enemy is defeated. The enemy no longer has the power that they thought that they had over our lives because they are defeated, and we tell them, so we tell them what their place exactly is, under the feet of God. And again, this is what the Word of God has to say about that. He disarmed those who once ruled over us, those who had overpowered us. Like captives of war, God, He put them on display to the world to show His victory over them by means of the cross. The enemy thought that the cross was going to be their chance for victory, but God took that and God turned that into His victory. So when we worship and when we celebrate together, we declare that God is victorious and the enemy is defeated. And I want to say that according to the Bible, that is confirmed. Amen. So, I don't know what you need today. Maybe you feel sometimes all alone in your faith. Maybe you can even picture some of these other nations that we spoke about feeling maybe all alone in their faith. Maybe you need to realize that we're not alone, that we are surrounded by a multitude. Maybe you want to pray this over other nations, Christians of other nations, that you're not alone. You are surrounded by a multitude. This church, all churches, every tongue, every nation joins with you. All of the heavens and all of nature join with you. You are not alone in this worship. Maybe you need to hear that today. Maybe you need the supernatural power of God at work in your life to change something. He can do it. And you can take on this weapon of worship to defeat the enemy and see that supernatural power of God take place in your life. Or maybe you might be feeling a little bit defeated. And you need to be reminded that God has won the victory and the enemy is defeated.